SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome in. A very happy Friday to you. It is Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Certainly appreciate you stopping by as we're getting ready for the final weekend of the, quote, first half, quote, of Major League Baseball here, as we've got all 30 teams on the diamond in action here tonight, even though yeah, we're already in the second half of the season, as most teams have already played 90 or so games here. We will have a little reprieve starting Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And, of course, Thursday we'll have a couple of games, and Friday we'll resume the quote-unquote second half of the Major League Baseball season. But there are a lot of great games on tap here tonight that we're going to dive into here over the next couple of hours. Why? Because let's face it, there's a couple of very good divisional rivals going to go at it here. And I'm looking very forward this weekend to watching the Houston Astros take on the Texas Rangers, the defending champs, just about 4.5 games separating these two teams. Both have had lackluster efforts so far through the halfway point, but both are starting to play their best baseball right now. And it is going to be a, well, let's face it, it is a very winnable American League West. But the question is Seattle going to rise to the occasion finally here? Or will the champs kick it into high gear and not only win this very important series against the Houston Astros heading into this weekend? And again, Houston's just 2.5 games out of that top spot in the West, and you're looking at 6.5 games out for Texas. But both of these teams are also expected to maybe be active when the trade deadline rolls around, which is at the end of the month. But this series, this weekend, beginning tonight, will go a long way into determining what we're going to see once everyone resumes next Friday. We also have the Cubs and the Cardinals getting ready to go at it on a weekend series. Also, a monster game for the National League Central Division, a division in which the Brewers seem to have a pretty good grip on it. But anything with that pitching staff of the Brewers, especially that starting pitching staff, anything is possible there. And the Cubs, as you may have seen, have figured out all of a sudden how to hit the ball. And we have seen that over the last week with the amount of runs that they have been able to score and just dominate like they did against the Orioles in this last series. And the Cardinals started extremely slow, but they too have figured things out over the last month. And of course, the creme de la creme here, you've got the Yankees and the Orioles coming up here at Camden Yards over the weekend. Gerrit Cole on the mound tonight, taking on the kid Povich here for the Orioles. If there is a team in Major League Baseball that is looking forward to having a week off, it is the Baltimore Orioles, who look absolutely gassed at this particular point in the season. They are going from losing another series here to the Cubs, getting blanked last night, taking on a Yankees team who just has the worst record in Major League Baseball since the middle of June. Think about that. We were talking about the Yankees on June 1st as being one of the best teams, if not the best team in Major League Baseball. The record certainly reflected it, but no. Boy, have the wheels fallen off the New York Yankees here. And this too is going to be a pretty big series heading into the weekend, a one in which both of these teams would love to gain control of the American League East. As you can see right there, the odds for both of these teams, pretty much pick 'em price, but that odds will change if one of these two teams gets swept here. So that's a game we're certainly looking forward to. We've got much more coming up here a little bit later this hour as well, including some NBA news. And again, the NBA doing a great job of dominating headlines in the slow time of year. And this one, this headline has to do with the New York Knicks and Jalen Brunson. If you have not heard, this came out earlier. Brunson, it's being reported, is signing a $156.5 million deal to stay with the New York Knicks. And now you might say, well, why is that a headline? Well, it's a headline because he would have been eligible for a $269 million contract if he just had waited next year. So he is taking basically a giant haircut to the tune of $100 million in guaranteed money. He's leaving it on the table. And why is that? Well, he wants a winner with the New York Knicks, and he is an absolute, he is absolutely on track. And with Ananobi coming in and getting the money now, you know, there's a lot of Mikal Bridges, Julius Randle. There's a lot of money that the New York Knicks have spent. Somebody was going to have to be willing to take a little bit of a haircut if they were going to be able to keep this group, this core group, together and actually make a run at this. We've seen the Boston Celtics just win a championship and are poised to bring back the entire team once again. Most of that team had already been together for more than three seasons. Certainly the nucleus of the Boston Celtics have been together for a while. And if the Boston Celtics can navigate around max deals, well, then the New York Knicks figure, if we're going to do this, we got to be able to keep these guys together. And nobody realized that better than Jalen Brunson. You don't often hear of NBA players leaving $100 million out on the table in guaranteed money just in order to make sure that his team has a chance at a championship over the next couple of seasons. And also keep in mind, too, that's guaranteed. The $156.5 million, well, that money, you pocket that now. There's a lot that can happen between now and when he would have been eligible for that $269 million. So when you think about it, if he gets hurt, if for whatever reason his game is just not the same, yeah, all of a sudden that 269 wouldn't have been there anyway. So take the 156 and a half and give your franchise an opportunity to be able to surround you with quality enough players in which you can win a championship. And that's exactly what he's doing here. I would, of all the guys in the NBA, this might be the most least surprising guy. Brunson would have absolutely been on my list if you asked me, give me a couple of guys in the NBA likely to leave $100 million on the table in guaranteed money in order to help his franchise. Brunson would have been at the top of that list here. He wants to win, and now the Knicks will be able to afford the pieces, at least over the next couple of years, to give themselves a chance at going after the Boston Celtics. And speaking of champs, we've got an update. The final is set in Wimbledon. We'll have much more on this coming up for you, as you know who is there in the final again. Novak Djokovic will have the opportunity to win his 25th Grand Slam title along with his eighth title at Wimbledon. He handled business again today, and so did a former rival of his here in Carlos Alcaraz. These two know each other all too well. It is going to be a heck of a weekend here, and we are going to get you all ready for it. We'll have more on the Wimbledon final, including the women's side. We've got plenty of Major League Baseball and more NBA Summer League action to talk about. We'll do that when Game Time Decisions continues on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this Friday now, July the 12th. Certainly appreciate you stopping by and hanging with us as we get ready for a very big weekend, Major League Baseball. We've got Wimbledon action. We are a week away, of course, from the Open Championship, the last major on the PGA Tour. And, oh, yeah, we got a whole lot of basketball coming up, whether it be the Summer League, whether it be the WNBA or the Olympics. Don't forget about that. That'll be here in a couple of weeks, and nobody better to navigate us through it all than the coach, James Young, in the house. And, coach, I was just saying last segment that if you would have asked me to name a couple of guys that would be willing to leave $100 million out on the table in order to help the franchise put winners around them, I would think Jalen Brunson would be at the top of my list somewhere there. I'm not surprised, but I'm surprised in this NBA there's even a Jalen Brunson in the league willing to do that at this point.
You know, it's a phenomenal story. A guy that when the Knicks signed, even I was like, oh, this guy's good, but is he worth $29 million? I mean, he's exceeded all expectations in New York, and I think this is the tip of the cap. I'm going to say this. You could put Jalen Brunson right now in 2 years, maybe top five, top seven of all-time Knicks. Like, you're going to put him over Carmelo right now just on what he's done in 2 years. But for him to give back, think about this, folks, $113 million. $113 million. He's one of the only guys that would do this. And what he did, folks, is this. I want people to understand this. He gave the Knicks financial flexibility to go get a team that can win a championship. Now, there's also got to think about the fact that there's still Randall. They have to think about what they have to do. Mitchell Robinson is eligible for an extension. You know, now that they got Bridges, he's going to be able to get an extension, I think, next year, I do believe. So he's allowing flexibility. But one caveat that people have to understand is this is like the Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes model. He goes shorter term, less money, but with the NBA, the way he can increase his salary, I think, by 30 or 35%, he'll get the next contract will make up for this contract. So what he did is something that is smart. He is a leader of a team that realizes that he needs to give for others to get for him to win. I'm going to say this right now.
Yep.
If they win a championship with Brunson, after he did this, Joe, go put a statue on him on 7th and 33rd. But you might as well put it now.
Yep.
Because he will accomplish something that Ewing couldn't do, that Bernard King couldn't do, that Carmelo couldn't do, and that's bring a championship to the New York Knicks.
Yep. Yeah, he's a very unique dude, and he's got big belief in that front office, and he likes the guys around him. And more importantly, it means, Coach, that listen, he's taking the $156 million now. A lot can happen between now and 2025 when he's going to be eligible for more money. You pocket that money now, and let's see what we can do. But this team, for the most part, much like Boston, right? They gave all that money out, all these max deals to, you know, Tatum, everyone else. This has pretty much been the same team for a little while now. I think the Knicks are trying to do that same thing. Keep the same core of guys in New York. You can't just keep mixing and matching and hope you can win a championship that way these days, can you?
No, you have to have, and here's the thing, what New York did. You gotta, usually you build it through the draft and then you make the trade, right? The Knicks did it swiftly in regards to they didn't give big money to these guys. Now, Brunson is the ultimate team guy because OG Anunoby is going to make $10 million more this year. Brunson don't care.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, folks. Remember, this is the Camden-Philadelphia connection. Got to remember, folks.
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson's agent, Leon Rose's son. OG Anunoby's agent, Leon Rose's son. Rick Brunson, Jalen Brunson's father. His first agent, Leon Rose. That's that Camden. Now you can add the Villanova connection with, obviously, Bridges, with DiVincenzo, with Hart. Yep. I'm going to say this. This is the first time since the Van Gundy slash Riley Knicks, and you know this as a Knicks fan too, they have culture. They have stability. They have a superstar that I think Knicks fans are going to appreciate Brunson more because we didn't appreciate Patrick Ewing when we had him and then we went through all those lean years. So it's going to be interesting watching the Knicks, but I'm going to say this. I don't think they're done because the interesting one is Randle. He can be his contract is a player option for 25-26. They're circling the wagons, right? There's talk about could Cat be this because there's a thought process you may have to play five-out basketball. There's these wild rumors. Mark Berman from the New York Post has been retired 2 years. He's bringing up Alperen Şengün and Jalen Duren. If you go get one of those two instead of Mitchell Robinson, get the parade now because that's a young, better version. But to me, Joe, it still goes through Boston. It's quite obvious. Yep. But it's interesting. I wonder, I'm not starting propaganda. Did this Jaylen Brown not getting on the Olympic team, could this cause some waves in Beantown? I would love to hear what our guy Pat Foster, our producer, and obviously Scotty Wetzel and John Shames. Oh, well, Shames don't work here anymore. We don't care about Shames. But Pat Foster and obviously Scotty Wetzel, they may be shaking a little bit because guess what, Pharrell? I called you Pharrell. I'm so excited. Joe, another Knicks fan. The Knicks are coming. The Knicks are coming. Yep. Oh, the Knicks are coming.
Yep. I'm going to say no comment on the Jaylen Brown situation there, mostly because that's exactly what he said when asked about being snubbed on the Olympic team and going with Derek White. I'm with you there, Coach. I think the writing, it's always been on the wall with that, with him and everybody else there. So it'll be interesting. Let's talk some NBA Summer League, WNBA next with the coach here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. And while we'll get a little reprieve for Major League Baseball coming up next week because of the All-Star break, have no fear. We've got Summer League NBA basketball going on right now, and you got to love it, Coach. Full slate of games here out in Vegas taking center stage right now. New Orleans and Minnesota underway. Kings and Grizzlies underway, not to mention, of course, the Lakers and the Rockets coming up at 7:30. What's your take on what we're getting out of the Summer League here? Who are you looking at? What should we be playing here?
Well, FanDuel earlier today had, and I don't know if it's up because the game started, but they were hanging like who could be the MVP of Summer League. And I think when you start looking at it, there's a couple of ways you go about it. Number one is you have to be careful here because we don't know how many games these guys are going to play. So you gotta be a little bit lucky here on what you're going to get. So they took it down, but earlier today, and maybe they'll put it back up after games today, but Kevin Wallace and I had a really good discussion about it. I took Zach Edey. I took Terrence Shannon Jr. I took Cam Whitmore and one other guy. One unit each, just because the odds were so crazy about it. So there's ways you could try and make money off of it. I am really intrigued on what I want to see out of both the teams playing right now. Minnesota, this backcourt of Terrence Shannon Jr., who's a walking bucket, and Rob Dillingham. Rob struggling a little bit from the floor. Shannon Jr. with 15 points early, late in the third quarter, playing really well. And then obviously Memphis. We've talked about it. Zach Edey has gone from being 20-1 to be the favorite to win Rookie of the Year, probably because of the fact that he should get himself a decent amount of touches this season.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing a number of guys here. But, of course, everyone's going to be looking at Bronny in every game. For what reason, I have no idea, outside of maybe liking a good car crash here. He's going to be at Houston coming up a little bit later. Have you found any props? I think his point prop was 1.5. Is somewhere along those lines.
You're cold as ice, man. You better watch it. The bat phone is going to ring, and Kevin Walsh is going to be calling in a minute.
Yeah.
I did do is listen. Bronny's not going to score for a while. He's got to get the jump shot fixed. To me, I'm intrigued on FanDuel. Bronny James, 4+ assists at +104. If he's going to make it in this league, until the jump shot comes, he's got to be really good defensively, and he's got to facilitate for others. 4+ assists for Bronny James at +104. If I'm not mistaken, Joe, he's kind of been in that area a little bit with this. I don't think this is a bad number for Bronny. He's only obviously played in two summer league games. The one game, he had 3 assists in 29 minutes. So he's been right there. I think the other game, he was around that as well. So I would be looking at that possibly for Bronny to probably try and get the assist column 2 and 3. So, hey, goes up 1 more to 4, plays a little bit better, maybe not as nervous. Bronny James, 4+ assists, plus money. I actually like it.
Getting it done. All right, 3 games in the WNBA here tonight, Coach. Which one of these games you looking at?
Well, I'm looking at a couple. Number one, I know it's a lot of points, but I'm going to lay it with the Aces. I just think this Atlanta Dream Team is an absolute mess since Ryan Howard has went down. I think they're 2-8 straight up in their last 10 games, and they're getting drilled. So I do like the Aces minus the points. Seattle, Minnesota, I think this is going to be a game of 2 of the better defensive teams in the league. So I would be looking at the under in that game. And then if you want points props, Atlanta Dream struggles defensively. Look squarely at Jackie Young. Now that the point guard has returned, and Chelsea Gray, it allows her to kind of get going a little bit offensively. So the Aces minus the points, Jackie Young over her points prop tonight, which is 18.5. And then obviously I'm going to go under in the Lynx game versus the Storm.
Ooh, like it. So we got a little something for everybody here tonight, Coach. Plenty of basketball all throughout the weekend. And a little birdie told me you and I will be on air together this weekend on Sunday covering it in all. So that's Emmy award-winning television right there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri as the hits roll on, getting ready for a loaded slate Major League Baseball here tonight. We welcome in our good friend Cam Stewart in the house here. And Cam, before we dive in to Major League Baseball, let us recap, since it's already happened with the Scottish Open across the pond. I'm looking on the back of milk cartons for Justin Thomas. I wasn't sure if I woke up and I imagined he was the first round leader because I woke up today and I keep scrolling and I can't find him, Cam. Like, did I imagine that, or what the hell happened today at the Scottish Open?
See, Joe, that's the thing that pisses you off the most as a gambler. This guy, he shoots over par, but he shoots 8 under in the first round, and I got Aberg at -6, who bogeyed like early holes early and often. Like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's just one of those situations. Yep. Like, why did you play so well the first round, Thomas? But anyway, Joe, just watching this golf really, really closely, I think it's going to be interesting. Aberg, he's the type of guy not to go away, but we can't get a number. I'm looking like +180. The best you can see is only around 2-1. But Colin Morikawa, I was thinking, he's made a nice little move. He's three shots back, and watching him today playing with confidence. And remember, Joe, you're a golf nut too. You know what's going on.
Yep.
This guy won the Open Championship before. And sometimes his putter's not even good. Like, it's a ball striker, creative golfer type of tournament, right? I looked at McIntyre today. I have him at 55. Nice and easy, right down the middle. You put it on the green. You avoid big bunkers, and you do your things, right? So we have a lot of guys in the mix right now. And I'm just saying, I look at Morikawa at 9 under. He's only 3 back.
Yep.
He's a very dangerous player. And I have Brian Harman as well, and he's 6 under. This is the beautiful thing about this tournament, Joe. You know, Åberg's at 12, but there's a lot of great players at 6 and 7. This is going to be an absolutely fantastic weekend. And I was telling Joe off the air, everybody, I got the cooties. There's 2 cooties, but they're both P-cootie, Pearson and Parker. I'm on Pearson at 80-1. He's tied for the lead in this ISCO Championship, Joe. I was just watching the golf. The cut line right now in this tournament, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be the biggest, the lowest cut line in PGA history at an event at 8 under right now. Like, the leaders are at 14. The cut is 8 under. They said it might slip to 7. Are you kidding me, Joe? I feel like me and you could go out there after a couple of drinks and maybe par a couple holes.
Yes.
This course is easy.
Yes. Okay. Well, listen, if the weather doesn't roll in at this Scottish Open, we're going to get a monster number this weekend to win also. Just put please put my fears to bed here. I was this close to betting Rory, and I'm like, there's no way Rory's going to take off 3 weeks and come back and win the tournament he won a year ago. Like, it's not going to happen, right, Cam? Rory's not winning this thing.
I'm not betting him, Joe. It's just the number is just not good enough for me. There's too many guys there.
No.
But I got to be honest with you. I'm shocked. And I'll give Marinci a lot of credit, because we talked about this on the show last night. And he's like, you know what, Rory needed a mental break with the way he collapsed and all the other stuff. And he has the game. And I'm like, well, you know, he could have some rust, but he's also very familiar with the course and the Open Championship. And he's won the Scottish Open before. So I kind of look at it going, maybe that was the best thing, getting out of the, you know, getting in that car, Joe, putting it in overdrive. No interview. See you, everybody. Yep. I'm Rory. I'm going across the pond. Don't call me. Don't go on Twitter, X, whatever they want to call it. No Snapchat. I'm done. I need to relax for a few weeks. And I got to tell you, the R&R has been very good for RM, Rory McIlroy. He looks good, but Joe, at that price, I just think there's too many other guys that can win this thing at prices that are a little bit better. Would we be shocked if Rory won? No, but I like other guys in the mix. And I know one thing about Rory McIlroy. Sometimes that putter goes ice cold and he has a bad round in him.
I just
want these consistent guys right now. And I'm happy with the stable of guys we got, Joe. Like, at least we have a lot of guys in the mix, which is nice.
Yep. Amen to that. We got 3 games getting ready to start. Major League Baseball, Dodgers and the Tigers, Skubal on the mound there. The Phillies with Ranger Suarez taking on the A's, and the Guardians taking on the upstart Rays here. Was there one of those games you were looking at here?
I got to be honest with you, Joe. I'm looking at this game going, okay, Skubal is like, this guy's an absolute stud, but would you lay 50 cents with the Tigers against the Dodgers? Like, is this some kind of, like, you bet Detroit because of the, like, it's the super. Joe, this feels like I'm a fish and I got double hooks in my lip, because I'm looking at this going, I don't care if it's Skubal versus Paxton. Paxton wins games for the Dodgers, and you're laying 50 cents against that lineup. Something tells me it's fishy. But early, Joe, I'm going to take a shot. It's not my favorite game, but I like taking teams coming off blowout losses. I do the same with hockey, and it works more than it doesn't. I like the Guardians tonight. With Carrasco, I'm getting plus 125 on my book against Taj Bradley and the Rays. I know the Rays are playing better ball right now, but I think Cleveland at a nice plus price is something that I'm looking at. I lean Cincinnati. It's going to be a parlay piece. I don't like the price at minus 170. Ooh. I think it's a little bit too much. So I got to find a dance partner there. I got to tell you, Freddie Peralta, the Brewers, minus 260 against Washington. Yikes.
Ooh.
Washington's been a real spoiler too, Joe. I don't know what else to do with this one. And maybe it's the Yankees night with Cole against Povich. Who's on the hill for Baltimore? Maury Povich? No, Cade Povich.
Maury.
But, the Yankees are – Maury Povich is here. The Yankees are so damn cold. What do you think, Joe? I want to ask your opinion. Like, you have a significant advantage in the pitching matchup, but Baltimore is a dog? Maybe this Povich – the Yankees can't hit. So that's kind of something that I'm looking at. I also like the Royals. The Royals are going to be a small play for me. I know Boston, it's in Boston, but I like Cole Reagans. I think he's a very, very good pitcher. It's a straight-up pick on my book against Cooper Criswell. So going to take a shot with the Guardians as a dog, Kansas City to pick them. Going to get a parlay together with Cincinnati, and I might add the Mets to it with Manaea. I need plus price, though. Yeah. I can't lay these numbers, right, Joe? Like, I don't do that stuff. Yeah. If the parlay becomes plus, I'll play it. But soccer, too, over the weekend. I think we're gonna take a shot with Spain. I know everybody and their mother's on them. Exact score 1-0, under 2.5 in regulation. Know what, Joe? I'll tell you one thing, too. Canada really let us, they didn't let us down. That's a dumb thing to say, Cameron. Argentina beat us. They were very opportunistic, only losing 2-0 to Argentina. But you saw what happened in the Colombian game. These guys are in the stands fighting people. I thought it was a woman in a sports bar. It's a guy with a bun with like half a shirt. Just absolutely. Like, I'm like, Dana White, line three. Like, this guy's like cleaning out rows of people. I'm like, what the hell? I thought it was a girl at first.
Yes.
Uruguay, we don't know what's going to happen in this game. First of all, Gabe brought up a good point on the show again last night. Suspensions, will there be there? And another thing, what is Uruguay's motivation? Like, you've already lost the game to Colombia. This game means everything for Canada. For them to medal. So if you can get Canada plus one, plus 1.5 with juice on the Asian line, I would not be shocked, Joe, if this game was actually like a draw and Canada like takes it to kicks. They might lose in kicks, but this is a price where you don't want to be laying Uruguay. There's too many question marks. And I can tell you one thing, their goal was championship or bust. They couldn't care about playing a game against Canada. I just think the motivational side is on Canada. I know sometimes you don't bet like that, but I will. I'm taking Canada in that spot, and we're getting a goal and a half. I'll lay the juice with it too, and we'll find another dance partner there.
Yeah, I like it with Spain too. If Spain can dictate the pace like they did early against France, it's goodbye. England, you're not going to be able to come back here at all. And what happened? Does Colombia win it all, by the way?
I have futures on Colombia, Joe, at the start of the tournament at 8-1.
Yeah, me too.
I'm in. Yep. Like I it pays like I got two. Like I got money on it. I'm very, very. I don't want to hedge. I think they're a better team than Argentina. I will ride Colombia.
Yep.
All way. There's no hedging. There's no nothing. I think they could beat these guys like 2-1. I would not be shocked if there was a few goals in that game. Colombia plays a more aggressive style. Argentina doesn't want to play back against these guys. So I like Colombia. In that spot. We're reading each other's mail, Joe. And let's be honest with England. Yep. It's been a nice run, whatever. Very lucky against Switzerland. And the Netherlands got hosed on a couple of calls. Like, and France had a lead. And honestly, Spain came back with two goals to win and held them off. Spain's a better team.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. And I think they'll get it done there. Cam Stewart, always a pleasure, brother. We'll see you later. With Gabe Morenci, Game Time Decisions continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. It is a Friday, and we've got plenty of Major League Baseball. In fact, all 30 teams on the diamond here tonight. Joe Maddon knows this as she steps in. And Joe, looking forward to what should be a very interesting final weekend before we get to the All-Star break. And I know this Dodgers team certainly looks like they could use a win here before the end of the break. And yet they got to go to Detroit to take on maybe the Cy Young Award winner in the American League in Scooble. Paxton on the mound for the Dodgers. What happens in this one here?
It's a scary matchup, right? You look at Paxton and you look at his struggles that he's had out there on the road, and it's really hard to back him here. But then you have to look at the offense he's going to face in the Tigers, and as well as the fact I know the Dodgers have had their struggles. This team needs that win. But as soon as his offense starts clicking, I can't put money on the Tigers at -142 when I can get the Dodgers here with great plus money. I think they have every ability once this goes to the bullpen. Now, they're going to have to be able to hit Scrubel at some point in this game so he doesn't go really deep into the seventh inning, because I think the Dodgers' best chance is against that bullpen. I don't trust the Tigers' bullpen out there. So I'm going to look here. I think James Paxton has to be stronger than what we've seen out there on the road. I think there's too much of a fade of him right now, and I'm not going to fade him. I think he will get into that sixth inning. James Paxton over 15 and a half outs coming in at plus 107. And I'm going to sprinkle on the Dodgers on the money line. They need this win. And James Paxton actually has had a strong career versus the Tigers here. So I'm expecting more out of him today. Let's look for him to step up, Joe. We'll know at the bottom of the first inning here if that's going to happen.
I love it. All right, when we talked the other day, in fact, when you were on Game Time Decisions Wednesday and you backed the Oakland Athletics, I believe it was against Boston early in the first five, and they handled their business. They're taking on the Phillies now, and I will tell you, top of the first inning, 1-2-3, Phillies coming up in the bottom, and I know you're looking at a Nerfy in this one.
I absolutely am looking at the Nerfy because we look at Harris here of the Oakland A's and his ability to come out strong versus the Phillies. He's proven in his career how strong he can be versus them. While he hasn't recorded the win, he has a 3.00 ERA versus them in 6 innings pitched. And I do think we're going to see that same sort of production out of him versus this Phillies team. I think the Phillies struggle to hit on Harris. Now, you can also look at the first five. I like that first five staying under 4.5 runs. That's coming in some plus money at plus 102. We know the Oakland A's. We really don't have to worry about them being able to get a lot of runs here on Ranger Suarez. Ranger Suarez, so phenomenally strong. He's coming in here 10-3 with a 2.58 ERA. So I'm not worried about Suarez. We just need Harris to come out the way that he has been able to be performing versus the Phillies. And I do think we will get that production out of him, especially in the first. So I absolutely love the Nerfy. And then I am looking at that first five under 4.5 as well. I think both have every ability to cash in this one, Joe. It's going to be an exciting matchup here between these two. I really do think. I think Harris can do enough to start this game here, but it's the Phillies in the end of the day, and the books just want too much. It's almost 3-1 to your money.
Yep, and you're going to need, listen, if you can get through Schwarber, Turner, and Harper, then you deserve to cash this ticket, and you deserve a shot at keeping this thing under 4.5 in the first five, without a doubt. We do have also a pretty streaking Tampa Bay Rays team with one of their better young pitchers on the mound. They had Shane Baz last night, Taj Bradley tonight. They're getting ready to take on the Guardians at home. What are we like in this one?
The Tampa Bay Rays have been so up and down with this team offensively that I really had a hard time backing them here at home with the juice that we have to lay. But I do like the pitcher coming out, Bradley, for them. I think he's been so phenomenally strong, but he hasn't been able to get the run support from Tampa. So it's got to be a struggle for him out there. I guess not struggle for him at the mound, a struggle for him like emotionally. His team's just not helping him be able to record those wins, Joe. So I'm looking at him for his outs in this one. Over 16.5 outs, it's a little juicy at minus 138. I do think this is something you could probably ladder up if you feel confident in it as well, because he's been able to have 17 or more outs in 4 of his last 5 games. And here versus the Cleveland Guardians, I do think he's going to find success. Now, Carrasco on the other side of the ball coming out here with a high ERA. That ERA is over 5, but you look at him as of late and he has been limiting those runs out there. So I think this is an interesting matchup. One I do think probably stays under the 7.5. Just because I can't trust the Tampa Bay Rays to put those runs up on the board. But I think the best bet is just looking at Bradley, looking at his outs. I do think he can go deep into this one. I think it's a lower scoring game. I think we're going to wait a while for those runs to come in this game. And I would lean on the Tampa Bay Rays to get the win. But, man, I tell you, Joe, when are they going to give Bradley a shot to be able to record that win? If they can't get the runs on the board, I feel for him out there.
Yep. Now he's done really, really well. He should be able to limit the damage here in this one at home. They're just underway there. We're getting ready, of course, for the American League East battle between the Yankees, Gerrit Cole on the mound, and the rookie Povich there for Baltimore. And I can't think of two teams more in need of a vacation than these two. And they can't get to the All-Star break fast enough, Joe. Who are you leaning on in this one?
Well, you're right, Joe. What has happened to both of these teams? They're already mentally, it seems like, on vacation out there. But I do have more faith in Gerrit Cole and the New York Yankees than Povich. I just don't have that faith in Povich. And no matter how much run support he has, I look at the Yankees and they're the better team offensively. So I do think they're going to hit off of him. I do think Gerrit Cole should be able to come out strong enough to help the Yankees be able to get that win. I'm going to look at the Yankees to be able to hit off of Povich in this one. Over 4.5 runs is coming in at minus 118. I tell you, you look at the Baltimore Orioles and Povich in his struggles versus it was the Cubs and how he struggled in that one. I just can't back this guy right now, Joe.
Yep. Yeah. No, well, it's Camden Yards, hot, humid night. Should be able to get some runs. We'll get more from Joe Maddon with a couple of these late games next here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this Friday. Joe Maddon hanging out with us here as we're getting ready for what I think is going to be the series of the weekend heading into the All-Star break, Joe, between Houston and the Rangers. Just 4.5 games separate these two teams, but they both have been playing their best baseball this year over the last couple of weeks. So this is a huge series for both of these teams. How does it start here tonight in Game 1?
I'm leaning towards the Houston Astros being able to get the win here, Joe, but I'm expecting a higher scoring game in this one. I'm taking it over 8. I was actually really shocked at sitting at that solid 8 and not at 8.5. It's coming in at minus 112 to the over. I look at the starting pitchers here and I look at how these offenses have been able to do. And I think we're going to see a couple runs in that first 5 innings. And then when it turns over to the bullpens at the end of the day, I don't really trust the Texas Rangers bullpen. That bullpen has a 4.38 ERA overall, and I do think the Astros, with how they have been playing as of late, should be able to get the runs on the board. Now, the Astros are too juicy for me, though, Joe. When you look at that, you got to lay almost minus 150 on that money line, and that's just not what I want to do because the starting pitching matchup is very similar. We got Andrew Heaney coming out here for the Texas Rangers. He's 2-4 on the road with a 3.40 ERA. And then Hunter Brown for the Houston Astros. He's been solid at home, 3-2 with a 3.44 ERA. They're good pitchers coming out between these two to battle against each other. But I just think we're going to see a couple runs in the first 5, and then the bullpens will give up some. I think 8 is just too low of a number here, Joe.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great weekend series for sure with those two teams. And you might be the only person on earth who continues to cash tickets with the Oakland Athletics here, as they did just turn a double play to end the first inning. So your Nerfy comes through there. No run in the first inning with Phillies and the Oakland Athletics. And you got a night game here tonight because – listen, I don't trust this team, the Seattle Mariners. I do think Texas or Houston has a chance at winning the West here, but they are taking on the Angels tonight. How are you looking at this one?
Well, Joe, come on. They're back. They put up 11 runs yesterday. This team is going to steamroll and win everything now. Finally, their offense is going. I'm joking. I'm being sarcastic here. I was like, come on, Joe, laugh. Yep. It's a joke. I don't trust this team offensively. I don't trust them to bring those runners home. Yesterday's game was a rarity. We don't see them normally put up that many runs. And I think things come really back down to reality for this team in this matchup. Tyler Anderson has been strong for the LA Angels. And I do think he can come out here and make the Seattle Mariners look like the Seattle Mariners that we seen for the rest of the season out here, a team that's not able to put a lot of runs on the board. But then Brian Wu here for the Seattle Mariners, I trust in him to limit the bats here of the Angels. I'm looking at another Nerfy in this one that's coming in at minus 138. And then the first 5, under 4.5 at minus 128, Joe. I'm just not seeing those runs come in this game. I think both of these pitchers have strong outings. Now, when you look at Brian Wu, he is stronger at home than the road, but I still have faith in him here on the road versus the Angels. And the same with Tyler Anderson. He is stronger on the road than at home, but I do think there's not a lot of runs coming in this. I think the Angels will put a couple up. I don't know if Seattle puts a couple up in this one. I do give the edge to the home dog in the LA Angels in this one as well, Joe.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I thought Cam Stewart was pitching for the Angels last night, actually. Because Cam could have got more guys out than the gas can they rolled out to start that game that they brought up from Double A. So we'll see how they do against actual big league pitching here tonight. But I'm kind of with you. I think it's going to regress going the other way. And I there's a big story now that they got Rendon back, this Angels team. Trout could be also back. I mean, if you're Trout, why are you coming back, Joe? Like, why are you, like, why?
There's gotta be a reason. There's gotta be something in the contract, right? You gotta show up for, so many days,
yes.
Right? Otherwise, I have no clue why, right?
I got no idea. I'd fake another injury if I was him. But like, oh, you know what? I'm good. We'll try again next year. When you don't have Cam Stewart starting in the rotation for you. Joe Madden, we certainly appreciate it. As always, I think it's going to be a great night of Major League Baseball so far. Off to a winner with you and the no run in the first inning here for the Athletics and the Phillies. And then we got a lot more baseball coming up. We've got 1 hour in the books here, and we've got much more to get to, including an update from the Scottish Open. We've got some Wimbledon action, and we'll get it all covered for you when Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.